Well, let's see if we can make this work. It's the news, according to me. Not sure where the microphone is on this iPad. It's a fine Monday morning. Good morning. I'm in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Why am I in Fayetteville? I'm not going to tell you why I'm here. It's none of your business. I came here to drink my chai. Yes, I have chai this morning. Oh, I have another cup. Actually, I have a thermos. I'm going to get my thermos. Stay right there while I get my thermos. I have to add my thermos. It's got my sweet tea in it, so just in case, I have to have a backup. Oh, there you go. Yeah, it's right there. So, good morning. It is Monday morning, January 19th. June 19th. I got plenty of rest last night. I don't know. Like, I did get in late. I got in about midnight. Actually, it was after midnight by the time I got in bed. This particular trip has been a lot of late nights. The schedule has kind of been a little bit crazy just because it's been late night stuff. And that's been a little bit difficult over the weekend here. Next week, I don't foresee that happening. It could happen again, but I doubt it. I don't do well at late night stuff anymore. I'm just too old for that. But I do it well with the chai, which I have right here. It's Central Time. I think I'm on Central Time. I think Fayetteville, Arkansas is Central. I believe it's Central Time. 7:40 a.m. Central Time and Monday. There you go. I'm getting tired. I have my regular chai with, you know, that phony kind of stuff that comes out of the pump bottles. French vanilla creamer. It comes out, it's like an ooze. Most people, it goes right directly into their coffee, they never really see what it looks like. When you have a powdered chai drink mix, it kind of sets on the top of it, so you get to see this ooze that's coming out. Normally I would put like a couple different pumps in there to get the creamer, you know. It's not cream, first of all. I don't know what all is in it, but I'm sure it's lots of chemicals. I only put one in there just because that's all I could stand to look at while I was doing it. Oh, goodness. I have, I appreciate those of you who are listening to the show this morning, by the way. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for being with me. I'm by myself, not us. You're just one of me, as far as I know. As far as you know. We have a very interesting week ahead of us, in my opinion. Now, tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday, we will have regular shows. I believe I'm going to start doing my Wednesdays are going to probably start being my live shows on Wednesday. I kind of like doing the live show on Friday, just as kind of a follow-up to everything I've done all week. However, I'm going to change that up to Wednesday, the Wednesday live day, because it rhymes, you know, rhymes with day. So here we are, folks. We had a lot of interesting things happen over the weekend, a lot of comments that keep being made. In fact, this morning I heard a news clip. I was eating breakfast here and just happened to have the television on down. I'm at a hotel, so I had it down in the lobby listening to Bill Barr. This guy is personally, in my opinion, I think he is probably a leftist. I know he's a progressive. The things right now that he's been saying about Donald Trump are patently untrue, first of all. He needs to be very careful about the words he uses. Maybe he is. I would imagine he is very careful about the words he's using. And what he's saying is absolutely drawing right into the narrative that the leftists want to portray of Donald Trump, this monster that they've created, this self-indulgent, arrogant little baby, little tantrum thrower. That's what he's trying to play him out to be now. That's not true at all. But they continue to... If you listen to MSNBC or CNN for any length of time, even just 1 hour, all the news coverage right now is all about the indictment. It's all about how, oh, Trump, I've never seen that look on Trump's face before. His left eye blinked. Oh, look, his nose hair seemed to twitch. Oh, look, he took three breaths there instead of just taking two. Most normal people would just take two breaths right there. They are completely infatuated with this guy. They are drooling at the prospect of him going to prison. They cannot wait for the person who has the photo, who gets to break the story of Donald Trump entering a jail cell and slamming the door shut. Because they are completely off the rails. This is mass formation psychosis. This is what this is. There's no other explanation for this. I was recently listening to Jimmy Dore. Now, Jimmy Dore has been a fairly cautious supporter. I wouldn't say he's a supporter, but he's been very sympathetic to Trump. He's pointing out the facts that he did not get us into any more wars, that he did not do this, did not, you know, a lot of things he did not do, that the leftists continue to do, say they're not going to do, and then they do, they break all their promises. Now, I've never seen him actually come out in support of anybody other than Bernie, and then, of course, Bernie burned everybody, and he was pretty burned by that whole thing. Jimmy Dore was kind of woken up by this entire, the whole vaccine thing, because he's vaccine damaged, he's vaccine injured. And, of course, he got all kinds of flack and back, you know, all kinds of stuff happening on YouTube. This little podcast YouTube show because of things he was saying. Now, strangely enough, he's been able to get away with quite a bit. Surprisingly enough, I'm not sure how that works. He's got a fairly large staff. He's got, you know, it's himself, and he's got at least two or three other people that are working there on screen with him, and then he's got some people behind the screens, behind the scenes that are also working for him. So I can't imagine his budget. I don't know who's funding him. This is a big question. Where's the money coming from? I don't know that he's been that popular of a comedian. He does have quite a few people that do listen to him on YouTube. But I don't know. You know, in fact, I can probably look it up here real quick. See how many followers he actually has. I already deleted his little thing I was going to look at there. The interesting thing that I heard this morning, this was put out yesterday actually, but it's a video by Blaze News, and it's this I think it was C-SPAN actually, it had callers calling in, and this lady was on there talking about how this. And this is the narrative that they want you to believe. Now, one of the things that Bill Barr said was, this is a problem that's entirely of Trump's own making. Entirely of Trump's own making. No, it's not entirely of Trump's own making. There are still documents held by the Clintons, held by the Obamas, probably even held by George Bush, that the National Archives are probably still negotiating with regard to who gets to keep what, where they get to keep it, how they get to keep it, what kind of records they get to keep. These things are ongoing all the time. What was the rush to get these documents back from Donald Trump? Why are they concerned about this? They know what's in the documents. They know he had the documents. They know where the documents were. They were locked up. They know he had them. Why did they all of a sudden want them? And then when he had an argument about what they get to have and what they don't get to have, just because they want them, they say, this is obstruction of justice. Now, it's just obstruction. The news media puts in the of justice part of it. And this lady does that when these callers call into C-SPAN. Now, so pay attention here. These people are calling into C-SPAN, and one of them is a Democrat. And she flat out asked the question, did Hillary Clinton actually damage or destroy phones with hammers? Or is this just a right-wing narrative? This lady lies through her teeth. Lies through her teeth. This has been fact-checked by the liberal media to be true. MSNBC and CNN have to admittedly say, they won't talk about it, but if somebody brings it up, they will say, yeah, it has been treated. Yeah, she did do that. James Comey admitted all these things before Congress. And yet the left continues to let this narrative go that she, no, that didn't happen. That's just Fox News. That's just right-wing stuff. It is pathetic. This kind of lying is absolutely pathetic. And they know they're lying. They know they're lying. Now listen to this lady, as this C-SPAN caller calls in. Hopefully you can hear this. I don't know how. Hopefully it's loud enough that you can hear it.
Congresswoman Stacey Plaskett, given what you said before, Stacey we Plaskett. Listened to the president and what he just said, is there a double standard?
Oh, absolutely not. You know, I think the president, President Donald Trump, has been afforded such grace that would not be afforded to other individuals in this instance. You know, when he tries to do these false equivalencies by creating what he did, similar to what, you know, Secretary of State then Hillary Clinton or Vice President Pence or President Biden, absolutely different. And what is the main difference? The main difference is that when those individuals were found to have documents and were told by archives or any other lawful government agency to return them, they did.
Okay, listen, this is the premise that they're saying. Well, they returned their documents when they were found, and the other, and Donald Trump didn't return them. This brings up a huge question, folks, especially concerning Joe Biden. Who found the documents and how did they get there? Has there been an investigation on how these documents, from the time Joe Biden was a senator, had classified documents from a SCIF? He took, somehow these classified documents got out of a SCIF, got into his possession, ended up in his garage. And that is, no, it's not the same as what Donald Trump did. It's not, absolutely not the same. It's very different. And it's, there's nefarious activity that has happened here. Somewhere along the line, those documents got stolen from the SCIF. Donald Trump never stole any documents. They knew where the documents were. The documents he took were put in a place where they knew where they were. Joe Biden took documents and they didn't know they were taken. The question here really is, who discovered those documents? And why was it all of a sudden, all over the place, they're finding documents from Joe Biden? Well, I returned them right away. I returned them right away. That's the difference? Folks, just because you return what you stole right away doesn't mean you didn't steal it. That's where the crime was committed. The crime was committed when you stole it. Donald Trump didn't steal any documents. Just because somebody asks for them back or asks for them doesn't mean they were stolen. It's a very different story. This is the twist that they want to put on this whole thing. Well, as soon as the documents were discovered, they gave them back. But the authority, whoever it was that told them they wanted them back, they gave them back. She didn't even know. See, there's a whole bunch of blank spaces here between the documents being discovered and the documents being returned. There was no discovery of documents in Donald Trump's possession. They knew where they were, and they were in a locked facility. They didn't know Joe Biden had documents. They didn't know Mike Pence had documents. They knew Hillary Clinton had documents, but they didn't know Hillary Clinton kept them on a private server that wasn't secure, unsecured server that she then destroyed, by the way. She bleach-bitted the thing, basically just wiped it completely clean. Now, see, normally when you delete a file on a computer, for those of you who don't know how this works, when you delete a file, you can go back and say, recall deleted items. Or even if you take the hard drive out, you can forensically go back. That data is still there. It's just that those particular sectors on the hard drive are now available to overwrite what was there. If they haven't been overwritten, the information's still there. Even though it doesn't show up on your computer. It shows up as blank space. However, it's not blank space. It's you're just overwriting it. A good forensic analyst can go through there and get that information out. They can withdraw that information. Now, when you use BleachBit, it's not a chemical. It's actually a product. It's a software product that goes in and literally puts blank space, overwrites all of the information that was on there so that it becomes blank and you can't read it anymore. It takes all of the information, the former information that was on there, off. It overwrites it with blank information. So it literally cleans the information, the hard drive, the information off of the hard drive. And so it becomes a blank slate again. It's like a reformat type thing. Now, that being said, this lady comes out and has the audacity to continue this. This is the narrative. She's reading from a script here. She memorized all this. This is what happened. Donald Trump's different because he didn't return the documents when he was asked to return the documents. That doesn't make him a crook. Bill Barr goes on to say all this stuff about how, you know, Donald Trump has no business being in the White House. He's just all, he only doesn't care about the country. He only cares about his own reputation and his own needs and blah, 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 blah. And can't have somebody like that in the office. Excuse me. Joe Biden. Did he care about the country when he was filtering money back through other channels, creating LLCs, money laundering, taking bribes, doing influence as the vice president, taking classified documents out of a skiff when he was a senator? Did he have the country in mind, or did he have his own self-interest in mind? See, the difference between Joe Biden and Donald Trump is that Donald Trump is who he is. He's right up front with you. And he's in your face about it. This is who I am. Joe Biden is a sneaky little weasel who pretends to be just old, good old Joe, Uncle Joe. Oh, he's just a humble guy. Meanwhile, in the background, he's got all these pay-to-play schemes going on, all the pro quo stuff.
Pro quo.
Quid pro quo. Pay-to-play. That is enriching him and his family. Does he have the people in the country in his best interest there, Mr. Barr?
Well, but he upholds the rule of law, Mr. Comey. It's got to be Joe Biden. He's the only one who upholds the rule of law.
He started his first campaign speech, I think, over the weekend. Hear people chanting 4 more years. They're getting paid to do that, by the way. There's over 60% of the Democrat Party. Not the Democratic Party. You're going to hear this more and more. When I was a kid growing up, it was always the Democrat Party. They were Democrats. Now that you will always hear, even people on the right now, it just drives me nuts. The Democratic Party, the Democratic candidate, it's the Democrat. They are the Democrats, the Democrat Party. And the reason I think it's important to make this distinction, I probably say this on every show, but this is my little soapbox, and I'm going to stay on it because there is a difference. There's an implied, subtle implied difference when you call the party a Democratic Party rather than the Democrat Party. It implies that they are the ones for democracy. They are the democratic ones. They're the ones who are democratic, which means for the people, by the people. They're not. They've shown themselves over and over now to be tyrant fascists, even within their own party, picking and choosing who will be the nominee regardless of what the people think. They don't care what you think. Joe Biden's going to be the candidate, regardless of what you think. Over 60% of the Democrat Party does not want Joe Biden to run again. I just saw a thing, it's by Liberal Hive Mind over the weekend. This guy puts out some good stuff. He made a real good point about all the kinds of people that they've got right now in the Democrat Party and in Congress. When you look at Fetterman, when you look at Joanne Feinstein, you have Joe Biden, Kamala Harris. She did another speech over the weekend for some graduation thing, and folks, it was pathetic. She just started cackling, and it's her Juneteenth or something. I guess it was her Juneteenth, and she just sat there and laughed, like looking around the room, laughing, just thinking everything was funny. And she's the only one in the room who's laughing. And when you're laughing and looking at people and trying to make it look like you're being funny, like everybody's laughing with you, they're not laughing with you. There's nobody laughing. It's very uncomfortable to see that. I feel sorry for that person. Then you've got, Fetterman, 95, 95, 95. Joe Biden's a bridge. This guy's, he's not right. He needs help. He should not be in Congress. At least he's finally wearing a suit and tie before the House. And then you have, is it Barry, what's the guy's name? Oh, who's the guy that's a senator? Who apparently pooped his pants while Nancy Pelosi was giving a speech and a waddle off the side. These people, when you look at this guy, they don't only show him only from the waist up or from the chest up, like a headshot. And he's got people beside him telling him what to say. He literally, when he makes a speech, they literally grab the gavel for him and hit the gavel. It's pathetic. This guy is almost incapacitated. This is the kind of people they've got in there. And by the way, need I say, all these people at the top. Chuck Schumer. What's his name? Barry, Big Boy, whatever his name was. Jerry Nadler, that's his name. Jerry Nadler. Nadler. Adam Schiff. At least he's coherent. He just can't stop lying. Jimmy Raskin. You've got Joe Biden. All of these people, John Fetterman. They're all, by the way, they're all, what color is their skin? Most of them are male. Hillary Clinton, white. All of them are white. But they're for the little guy. Joaquin Jeffries, is he the guy that's now Speaker of the House? Or Minority Speaker? And by the way, we don't hear much from him, do we? Nancy Pelosi was out there every day. Every single day. They don't, I don't know if he's been interviewed much at all on because the left wing has to do their thing. Now, a lot of other candidates are jumping into the Republican race. I think when they saw blood in the water with Trump being indicted, now, interestingly enough, he is still over 50% of the polls. And I think that's going to continue to increase. DeSantis is, I think, just around 30%, 30, just the lower 30s, 31%, something like that. If you add up him with all of the other candidates combined, so if all those other candidates dropped out of the race and it was just between, all of those other supporters went to completely to DeSantis, you would still have a Trump win. Trump would still be outpolling him, at least outpolling him. I'm not saying he's going to win, but he would be outdoing him in the polls. This is important to realize that this can all change. I mean, we only have a few more months until the primary, but a lot can happen in a few months. A lot can happen. Now, they are vehemently, there's even more lawsuits being filed against Donald Trump now. I mean, they are literally coming after this guy with everything they've got. And it's, there's a reason this is happening. When you sit back, you have to understand the reason. I'm talking about Jimmy Dore a little bit earlier. I want to finish up with my point, my thought on that. Jimmy Dore, I would consider him a quite left person. However, I don't think he's realizing how far right he's come in the last year. He literally is, he's all about having, the people having control of things and government paying for stuff and getting free health care and free college education. He's all about all this stuff. But I think at some point you have to come to a realization that we cannot trust these people in government. Big government is not our savior. Big government is not going to protect you. I was just talking to a friend of mine the other day about how he's concerned about the end time stuff, and he's concerned about the, just being able to, when it all falls apart, when it all starts crumbling, when something bad happens, like we get attacked by another country or something else bad happens or a natural disaster, whatever it is, things fall apart, and then if the the electrical grid goes down, how people are, for a couple of days it'll be fine. After a week, things will start to get kind of hairy, and then the riots will start, then the looting will start, the ravagers will start to do their thing. And what are you gonna do? Food's not being transported, food's not being, processed. Regular thing, the electrical grid's down. Gasoline's not showing up anymore at the gas station. You need to be able to hunker down on your property and protect yourself. Well, guess what? And of course, the internet's not going to work if the grid's down. Or it'll be extremely limited. So, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'm on a side note here for just a second. Well, no, I'm not. I'll keep on going with this because I'll forget what I was going to say. So this friend of mine, he was concerned. He hadn't really prepared for any of this yet. He didn't have any food storage, didn't have anything, going on, doesn't have any guns, doesn't have any, nothing. And he's really concerned about it. Well, this is the potential, it could potentially happen. Definitely could. Being prepared is important. I don't know where I was going with all that. I was talking to a guy the other day, listening to a guy the other day on a show. This, I think this was one of this. He was talking about hydrogen energy and why the electric car thing. The electric cars, it's kind of a false sense of whatever they're trying to go that direction. He was talking about hydrogen, how hydrogen is the answer. Well, it's really easy to say that. Now, one of the things that he said during his little speech, which really is kind of telling about how, dare I say, ignorant or unthought this guy is with regard to some of this stuff. The one thing he said that I don't think he realized how stupid it was. He said, well, anybody, can put a solar panel on their roof and they can make hydrogen from their solar panel. They can use that electricity to make hydrogen from their house, and they can be independent. I don't think he's getting the understand. I don't think he understands the difference in the transfer of energy here. There's something called the law of thermodynamics. I think the problem here is you're taking electricity to create hydrogen through a cell that creates the hydrogen. It doesn't just happen photosynthetically. You have to use that electricity to have a machine that creates the hydrogen and then pressurizes it to a very high pressurization rate, which also takes electricity. The inefficiency of using electricity to create hydrogen is extremely high. Now, don't get me wrong, hydrogen stores very well. It's hard to store, but it is storable. And it is, all of its potential energy is intact completely. If you put energy into a battery, if you put electricity into a battery, most batteries will not retain, they do have a constant loss. All batteries do. Flooded lead acid batteries, lithium ions, whatever they are, they will not maintain their charge forever just sitting there. They do have a dissipation rate. All of them do. Now, some are much less than others. Lead-lithium acid batteries have a certain length. It's like 0.12 volts per day or per hour, whatever. I think it's per day, whatever it is. They will continually lose power just due to ionic transfer. The hydrogen will not, unless it's got a leak. It maintains its, it's a very efficient storage system. However, getting it from water to hydrogen takes a tremendous amount of energy. Getting electricity to electricity is there already. You can just put a solar panel on your roof to charge your car. If you have a battery storage system where you can just transfer, or if you have just a swappable battery, where that battery sits there and charges all the time, charges all day long, by the way, I don't think there's, you would have to have quite a solar panel in order to get that battery to charge up all the way so that you could swap it every day. Now, a nice thing about hydrogen is you can fill it up at a pump. So you can literally pull into a gas station and fill it up. But his point was everybody's going to be autonomous and they can't control it because you can create your own hydrogen. Well, you can also absorb your own solar energy as well as wind power as well. So, yeah, it's his thinking wasn't, I don't think he was quite thinking that through.
Well, you know, electric cars, you have to plug in.
Well, yeah, so you have some kind of thing with hydrogen as well, you know. Something going on. So, I digress. We have the stuff that's going on with the leftists and what they're saying about Trump right now, and just the entire narrative that's going on. And I want to play a little bit more of this interview because it is it's pretty interesting, some of the things that are being said here with the callers that are calling in. I want to get more into this because she just flat out lies. At the end of this thing, she just flat out lies.
And President Trump did not. And not only did he not return them when requested lawfully by the National Archives by a subpoena to do that, he in fact lied about the documents and had his attorneys lie about the document, had staff lie about the documents.
What exactly was the lie? They will not tell us what these lies were. He talked to his attorneys to get counsel about saying, well, what if I just say I don't have them? What if I do this? What if I do that? Now, there's a reason Trump wants these documents. I don't know what it is. I have the feeling he's building a case against the deep state. And that's part of the reason that they want these documents. There's got to be a motive here because they didn't come after anybody else for these documents, for any kind of documents. He's got stuff on, he's got dirt on people. Let's put it that way. Now, he was asking his attorneys, what if I just do this? What if I do that? What if I say this? What if I say that? He didn't do those things. He was asking it's called client-attorney privilege. Well, the law, the FBI came in and took his communications with his attorney. This is unconstitutional. It is scary that they're doing this, and all they can only do it because it's Donald Trump, it's Orange Man Bad. Anything we have to do, the end justifies the means here. We've got to stop this man. I was talking about Jimmy Dore a little bit earlier, and this guy was on there. I keep circling back to this because it's important, I think, to make this point. This guy's talking all about these leftists, these Democrats who are really bad candidates. You know, Bernie, you can't trust him, blah, blah, blah. These people, they always say this and they do that, AOC, all this going on and on about how these people, you can't trust them, they say this and they do that. They don't do what they say they're going to do, and keeps on going on and on about these parties. And he was talking about this new guy he's part of the Green Party movement now. I can't remember his name. Warnock. He was a professor at some college, and now he's running on the Green Party, and he's running for president. Cornell West, whoever it is. And he's making a big deal out of this whole thing. Well, And then he goes into, you know, these other candidates are dangerous, but, you know, we certainly can't have Donald Trump, as he's the most dangerous. What exactly, all the things that they were talking about with these people being, you know, the people on the left being warmongers, not getting us out of wars, getting us more into wars, they're beating the drum for wars. They were beating the drum for the vaccine. They're beating the drum for all this, you know, the lockdowns, all the other things that they were, he was talking about. And then he comes out and says Donald Trump is even more dangerous, but he wouldn't elaborate on that. Now, Jimmy Dore just kind of, he didn't say anything, but he also didn't defend anything. He didn't push back on that at all. Can you please explain to me, of all the things he was saying that these Democrats were doing, Trump did none of those things. And yet, somehow Donald Trump is more dangerous. I don't understand that. Maybe the Donald Trump you've made up in your head is more dangerous. This monster that you've created, that you think he is, somehow is more dangerous. But I have to contend. And I've seen people do this. There's a really good interview. I believe, I don't think it was on Joe Rogan, but it was a show, it was a kind of a podcast kind of like that. And this guy was on there, and they were talking about all the problems with, you know, all the politicians and all the stuff that they were doing, the difference in politics and just the war mentality, the, you know, industrial, military-industrial complex, the big pharma, all the other things, the big, you know, the wokeism, everything that's out there, all the social stuff, along with everything else, and how it, you know, and they were talking about all these different candidates, but of course they wouldn't talk about Trump. Now this guy, he kind of backed up and he said, well, you know, if I said I had a candidate who was this, this, and this, he went down this whole list of things. Yes, that's what we want. Yes, that's what we want. He said, Trump was all those things. He said, don't you think, I know what it was. It was on Valuetainment. I don't know the guy's name. He's got he does a pretty good job. He interviews, he goes really out there on the edge. He really interviews a lot of different people. But he said, don't you understand who you're describing? 90% of that is Donald Trump. Boy, they did not want to hear that. They were dumbfounded by it. They didn't know what to say. He went down the whole list of everything that Donald Trump did and things he didn't do. And he fit the bill. But in their minds, this man is a horrible beast. He's a racist bigot, and he must be destroyed at any cost. Because we are the righteous ones. Because we don't like hate. He's hateful. He's hateful. Oh, he's hateful. I hate Donald Trump. And his supporters. They're full of hate. We hate hate. We have to stop hate. It's delusional. It's unhinged, and it's just off the rails. And it's, unfortunately, it's drumming up this crazy, wacky people stuff. And you know what, folks? We're not in a minority here. There is the minority, and it's been shown in almost every time that there's been a takeover, in Stalinism, Leninism, even the Nazism. It only takes about not even 20%. It's usually less than 20% of a population to control the other 80%. First, you have to isolate them and make them feel like they're a minority. So you gather up groups, you give them special rights, you give them all this stuff, you give them, you call them out, and you give them power. These minority fringe groups. You embolden them. You make them feel like, well, they're just everywhere. Everybody must believe this stuff. I must be the minority. I must be the oddball. I must be the bigot. Because they continue to tell you that. They isolate you. When the majority of the people in the country don't go that way. But they'll just go along with it because they don't want to cause wakes. They don't want to cause any waves. Their way of life is nice and peaceful. There are stories of churches singing hymns as the trains were rolling by. They would just sing louder because the trains were rumbling by their church buildings, so they would sing their hymns a little louder as the trains rolled by to Auschwitz. Let's not be that church. Let's ask some questions. Hey, where are those trains going? This is not going to happen on our watch. We've got to take a stand for this. And no, it's not going to be easy or pretty. It's not going to be comfortable. Our nice little way of life is going to be interrupted for a while. Some of us will pay a price. That's what courage is. And I think that's what the church needs right now. So Jimmy Dore, this guy was going on about this stuff, and yet no one confronted him with the question. Okay, what's the problem? What's the problem with Trump? What are you saying? You just say he's dangerous. He's even more dangerous than all these other candidates. What exactly is he more dangerous? What is it? Please just go through the top three things. Just give me the top three things. But this is the I'm just pointing this out because this is the delusional place that we are at. Here's more of this interview, this lady.
That is against the law. Those are the reasons why he.
What exactly is against the law here? The law that she's stating is the record, the Presidential Records Act. That's not a law. It's not even a regulation. It's just a procedure on how presidential documents will be handled and how they're going to be classified. That's what that is. Now, she's claiming that he broke the law because he didn't submit to a subpoena. The subpoena was being negotiated with lawyers. And they just decided to sweep in and take the stuff because it makes him look bad. We're going to raid his house. He's got these documents. They're national security, and they're saying he's committing espionage.
He had to face a grand jury, and they are the ones who indicted him. Let's remember, it is not a special.
Now, listen to her talk about this grand jury. This grand jury is his peers. This is a jury of his peers. No, it is not. Look at the people who are running these grand juries. South Florida is heavy Democrat. Miami, the reason it's down in Miami, Dade County, is because it is extremely, is one of the furthest left counties in Florida. Why would it not be held in Mar-a-Lago? Why not do it there? Where the crime was committed, the supposed crime was committed. No, it's got to be down in Miami, where it's, you know, more populated, harder to secure. Just all this stuff is just ridiculous.
Counsel, who was the person who indicted him, it was a jury of his peers. A grand jury is made up of individuals, in this case, in Southern Florida, which, as I recall, went his way in the last election, voted for him. Those are the individuals who are lying again with these charges. And the charges are for the 31 documents that he kept that were in fact classified, and additionally for obstructing justice by not returning them, and then also
again
false
throws in the word justice.
Those are the things that not Vice President Pence, Hillary Clinton, nor President Biden made false claims or obstructed the return of the documents when they were found to have them.
We will get to calls. Gary is in Tennessee, a Republican.
Here's the caller. He's a Republican. Gary.
Good morning. Thank you. Ma'am, how can you sit there and tell us there's no double standard when Joe Biden had documents as a senator? It's illegal. Not to mention the FBI investigating.
She just sits there and smiles.
Anthony Weiner found documents on his computer.
Now, what he's talking about here is Anthony Weiner was, his girlfriend was Uma Abedin. She was Hillary Clinton's right-hand person. Abedin. She got those documents off of the server from Hillary. Weiner had the entire contents of all those documents on his laptop. Have you heard anything about any of these people? Did we hear any kind of 37 indictments for anybody? For any of this stuff? Anybody in jail right now, today, because of it? No. And he's bringing this up, and she's, you know, watch what she does. She'll simply sit there and deny it right to his face and just continue on with the narrative as if he never even said anything. And what he's saying is true. Unfortunately, he's not a super good communicator here, but he's not really nailing the points, but he's hitting on the points. Not really nailing them down. He's nervous. He's talking. He's calling into this big show, and he's kind of nervous.
Personal computer that came from Hillary's aide, Abedin, whatever her name is. There's a huge double standard. So you ask those of us who do like President Trump to be serious about this.
She said it's smiling.
All been swept under the rug. What about Hillary's people all taking a hammer to their cell phones? Beating the hard drives out of them.
Which happened.
Okay, Gary, let's get a response.
So the response, sir, and thank you for calling in, is that there is not a double standard.
She calls him sir. Keep that in mind.
In fact, have documents that they're not supposed to have. And if President Trump had returned the documents when they were requested of him, we would not be where we are today. But the difference between President Trump and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was that when asked to return the documents, he did not.
She did not either. She was asked to retain all of her emails. She wiped 30,000. Now he says 30,000 emails off of her server. She wiped 30,000 emails. Well, my lawyer said they were private emails and I could erase those. My lawyer said that. Well, then your lawyer needs to go to prison too. You get a subpoena to retain information and documents, and your lawyer tells you to destroy those documents? If you're taking advice from, you got a really bad lawyer there, first of all. And Hillary was a lawyer as well. She knows better.
Because my lawyers told me to do this, I can do this.
No, your lawyer is committing the crime with you. Well, my lawyer told me I should kill this person so that there's no witnesses. I did it because my lawyers told me to, under the advice of counsel. And they're immune to anything. In fact, they can handle classified documents. They're above everyone. Apparently, they walk on a cloud of some kind. So this is what was going on here. But she completely ignores that. She completely, you know, goes... Now, keep in mind, Hillary Clinton was never president. Joe Biden was not president when he had those classified documents. Vice President Pence was not president either. No business having classified documents in his possession after he left office. Keep those things in mind. Who tells the president? Who does the archives work for? They work for the executive branch under the president. He could fire every single one of them. He could get rid of the National Archives if he wanted to. But that's neither here nor there.
She
this lady
returned the documents.
She didn't return the documents.
President Biden returned the documents. President Trump believes that he is above the law, that there is a separate standard for him, and that he doesn't have to do what every other American like you or like me or like other elected have to do. And he lied about it.
See how they're soloing him out? There's no other person in the country that would do this. He's the only one, because he's the evil. See how they like to slide this kind of little narrative in there? This little innuendo stuff?
To certify that
he's a monster.
Those documents have been turned over when we have recordings from him saying that he knew that the documents were not turned over and lied to the lawful request to return those documents. That's the difference.
You lie to the...
All right, Brian's in West Union, Ohio, Republican. Go ahead, Brian.
Thank you for having me on. The first thing, I'm going to answer the guy's question that she failed to answer. It is, I'm not defending Donald Trump in any way, but I'm going to stand up for the Constitution. Vice presidents and congressmen and women do not have the authority to just declassify anything. And if she talks about how she gets these, she can't get them out of the skid, how did Biden get them all? But the second thing is that she said that when Donald Trump was subpoenaed, he didn't want to turn over classified documents. but the other people do. The other people did, like Pence and Hillary and Biden and all them. Well, I don't know what planet she lives on, but I know Hillary destroyed 33 emails after the subpoena, after they were court-ordered, or, you know, Congress ordered those, subpoenaed those. She destroyed them and busted up phones with hammers. Is that following or is that obstructing? That is obstructing.
Okay, well, let's get a response.
Well, first of all, sir, my name is Congresswoman Stacey Klaskin.
My name is Congresswoman Stacey Klaskin. No, your name is Stacey Klaskin. You happen to be a congresswoman. You happen to be a representative. Putting their title on there only tries to make you above everyone else. This happens quite a bit. There was a general recently that was addressing Congress, and this lady, he addressed Congress. He said, Congresswoman, or whatever he called her. And she said, oh, my, I'm Congresswoman so-and-so. I worked hard to earn that title, and you will address me such. And then she proceeded to call him by his first name. You don't think he's worked hard to be a general? You know all the crap he's gone through to get in that position? Now, I know there's also political issues there, political stuff behind the scenes that happen when you get in that position. But excuse me. If you don't address our military as one of my... If you're my representative and you're not addressing the anybody in uniform, anybody in our military, you're not addressing them with respect. You're not giving them honor. You're no representative of mine. You can go pound sand somewhere because you're despicable to shove that in somebody's face like that. You're going to call me Congressman. I worked hard to earn that. But yeah, you raised money and got votes. That's all you did. Never went through boot camp. So... This lady, of course, now he was addressing the person who is moderating the show. He's calling in. He doesn't know who's listening to him, how he's being listened to, what's going on. He's talking about the congresswoman. He's referring to her as she. She said this, she said that. Well, first of all, my name is this. He wasn't talking directly to her. He was talking to the moderator. He didn't remember her name or whatever it was, because frankly she's just not, you know, as important as she thinks she is. Apparently, she's important, but not. Please, these people are public servants, not our tyrants, and unfortunately that's the position that they think they're in. Now there, it's an important position because they do represent us. There's a lot of accountability, a lot of responsibility that goes behind it, and they like to forget that part of it.
What I said was in fact correct, that there is a process for declassification. President Trump cannot unilaterally in his mind declassify documents.
Actually, yes, he can. That's this is
the process.
The process was established by the executive branch, and he is the executive branch.
And he did not do that.
Yeah,
and he did in fact.
Listen to any actual constitutional lawyer, and they will basically say, based on the Constitution, you get right down to the bottom of the law.
Many of these were classified
documents. This is all process. The process is not the law.
That Hillary Clinton had that she destroyed, and that in fact is a fact. And I'm right here on planet.
That in fact is a fact.
We'll go to Palmetto, Georgia. Monica.
Here's where it gets interesting. This is where she just blatantly flat out lies.
Hi.
This is the Democrat caller.
My question is, Republicans are running away with this narrative that Hillary Clinton destroyed documents and busted up cell phones with a hammer.
Yeah, she did.
Can you respond to that? Is that really true? It's like, is it true we're just letting these Republicans run away with that narrative?
Okay, you've asked the question, right? She's double downing on it.
Because it's out there. And
okay.
People believe it.
All right, Monica.
Okay, thank you. First of all, you're correct. She did not destroy with a hammer.
She's flat out lying.
That's another one of these conspiracy theories that's out there.
Conspiracy theory.
That is not in fact true. And were there emails that were deleted? Yes, they were. But an investigation that was done by the Trump administration found, in fact, that those were not...
it wasn't the Trump administration. It was the current FBI.
Subpoena, and they were not classified documents.
Keep in mind, this was the James Comey FBI.
At the end of the day, Trump is not being indicted...
Bill Barr.
...not indicted by his peers, by other Americans, for the boxes and boxes of documents that he had. He has 31 counts of indictment for classified material, material that in fact is detrimental, the him possessing is detrimental.
Why?
And can cause great harm.
Why?
To the national
in what way?
Security of our country.
Okay. Let's stop that. Why is that doing it? So why is it detrimental? Why is it dangerous for a former president who had access and who had all this information? Now all of a sudden it's dangerous for him to have it. Why? Explain to me why that's the case. Don't you think it's a little bit more detrimental that a senator would take documents from a skiff, hide them, keep them hidden, put them in a closet, put them in a garage? Four different places you have classified documents that you're not supposed to have, that nobody knows you have, that you had hidden from National Archives, and all of a sudden somebody finds out they're there, somebody runs across them, sees them. Oh yeah, oh whoops, whoopsie whoopsie, give those to my lawyers, we'll give them back. Oopsie, I don't know how'd that get there. Oh, you know, that's, I don't know how that got there. How'd that get in my garage? Must have been some intern, and when we were moving stuff out, they just accidentally moved it out, and then somehow it got into my garage. Because, you know, that's where I usually move my stuff from my office at the Capitol. I move it all, you know, to my garage. No, folks, this is blatant. And like I said, I don't like to get into this game of comparing, well, he did that, well, so you're blaming me, but that, they did worse. That's not a defense. I've been hoping that somehow they would be more on the legal terms of this defense and this whole thing. Than just to say, well, he said, she said, I did, he did, they did worse than I did, so therefore I'm not as, you know. Yeah, there's a double standard. There's no question about that. We've all known about that. Okay, so let's agree to that. Okay, there's double standard, period. That's not a defense. You need to work on your defense. Legally. No more of this,
well, I did that, but yeah, they did worse. Well, I might have killed somebody, but they killed four people.
Okay, that's not a defense for your killing someone. Or he didn't kill anybody, but that's just saying. So here we are, folks. This is where we're at. And this is the kind of narrative that gets out there. This is the kind of baloney that gets out there that, frankly, I think is all too often, all too common that we have this kind of rhetoric, this kind of narrative. And it's this caller, if she was a legitimate caller, is so they're listening to this stuff on the news, and they have no you can go to Google and just Google the fact that Hillary Clinton destroyed cell phones. James Comey admitted to it to Congress on the record. She had multiple devices and she destroyed them. Those were his words. So yes, it did happen, and even live on CNN one time, they were doing an interview, and they, John, can you fact check that? Did she actually do that? Yes, she actually did, but it actually is true. She did that. Oh, let's move on. Let's not talk about that. They went on from there and didn't talk about it. Because they were going to try to debunk it right there, and they couldn't, because it did happen. The narratives. The problem is the narratives out there that she didn't do it. And this lady's, oh no, that never happened. Have you ever looked into it? Because you got people like Bill Barr who won't do any kind of investigation, just jumps into this political realm. So why is he all of a sudden on CNN and MSNBC and Fox News is not interviewing him anymore? They rarely have him on there at all. He's anti-Trump. The things he's been saying about Trump are borderline libel. Supposedly he knows Trump really well. Well, how close did you work with Donald Trump? I thought the DOJ and the the AG and the president were supposed to be independent. Apparently you knew him really well. You must have been having meetings with him every day. Well, as you seem to think you know him. It's ridiculous. He's just feeding into the narrative, feeding into this straw man that they've created, who is this monster. It's pathetic. Like I said, I'm not a huge, I don't have Trump signs in my yard. I don't have Trump flags. I don't go on flotillas. But I can see injustice when I know what it is, when I see it. And this is absolutely, this is a railroading operation. So, as things go, I think we'll just have to call this a show. Yeah, that rhymes. It is, it's been an hour. So right now it is 8:39 Central Standard Time, 9:39 Eastern Standard Time. I will be back home tonight. So tomorrow morning there will be a show. I don't know how early it'll be, because I'll probably get in pretty late tonight. Hopefully getting in tonight. So the show tomorrow will be, that music gets pretty loud. I will see you all tomorrow morning. And Wednesday, live show. God bless, folks. Have a good day. Continue to pray for our leaders, pray for our nation, pray for those in charge of everything. And, well, that's really loud. And, after all that, we'll just continue on our way.